mean one, Mr. Grinch. You really are a heel. You're as cuddly as a cactus. You're as charming as an eel, Mr. Grinch. You're a bad banana with a greasy black peel. You're a monster, Mr. Grinch. Your heart's an empty hole. Your brain is full of spiders. You've got garlic in your soul, Mr. Grinch. I wouldn't touch you with a 39 and a half foot pole. You're a vile one, Mr. Grinch. You have termites in your smile. You have all the tender sweetness of a seasick crocodile, Mr. Grinch. Given the choice between the two of you, I'd take the seasick crocodile. You're a rotter, Mr. Grinch. You're the king of simple sots. You're a harsh of dead tomato splotch with moldy purple spots, Mr. Grinch. You're a three-decker sauerkraut and toadstool sandwich with arsenic sauce. You nauseate me, Mr. Grinch, with a nauseous super nos. You're a crooked, jerky jockey, and you drive a crooked horse, Mr. Grinch. Your soul is an appalling dump heap, overflowing with the most disgraceful assortment of rubbish imaginable. Mangled up, entangled up knots. You're a foul one, Mr. Grinch. You're a nasty, wasty skunk. Your heart is full of unwashed socks. Your soul is full of gunk, Mr. Grinch. The three words that best describe you are as follows, and I quote, stink, stank, stunk.
How could it be so? It came without ribbons. It came without tags. It came without packages, boxes, or bags. He puzzled and buzzed till his puzzler was sore. Then the Grinch thought of something he hadn't before. Maybe Christmas, he thought, doesn't come from a store. Maybe Christmas, perhaps, means a little bit more.
What happened then? Well, in Whoville, they say, that the Grinch's small heart grew three sizes that day.
And then, the true meaning of Christmas came through, and the Grinch found the strength of 10 Grinches, plus two. And now that his heart didn't feel quite so tight, he whizzed with his load through the bright morning light. With a smile in his soul, he descended Mount Crumpet, cheerily blowing hoo-hoo on his trumpet. He rode into Whoville, he brought back their toys, he brought back their floof to the Who girls and boys. He brought back their snoof and their tringlers and fuzzles, brought back their pantookas, their dafflers and wuzzles. He brought everything back, all the food for the feast. And he himself, the Grinch, carved the roast beast. Welcome, Christmas, bring your cheer. Cheer to all Whos, far and near. Christmas Day is in our grasp, so long as we have hands to clasp. Christmas Day will always be just as long as we have we. Welcome Christmas while we stand, heart to heart and hand in hand.
You recognize the voice singing that song? That's Thurl Raising. Well, Boris Koloff does the narration, but the song that you're mean one, Mr. Grinch, it's Thurl Ravencroft. He's the voice of Tony the Tiger. Every Who down in Whoville liked Christmas a lot, but the Grinch, who lived just north of Whoville, did not. The Grinch hated Christmas, the whole Christmas season. Now, please don't ask why. No one knows quite the reason. It could be his head wasn't screwed on just right. It could be, perhaps, that his shoes were too tight. But I think the most likely reason of all may have been that his heart was two sizes too small. But whatever the reason, his heart or his shoes, he stood there on Christmas Eve, hating the Whos. Staring down from his cave with a sour, grinchy frown at the warm, lighted windows below in their town. For he knew every Who down in Whoville beneath was busy now, hanging a mistletoe wreath. "And they're hanging their stockings," he snarled with a steer. "Tomorrow is Christmas. It's practically here." Then he growled, with his Grinch fingers nervously drumming, "I must find some way to stop Christmas from coming." So why is it that the Grinch hates Christmas so much? Could it be that the old Grinch wants to remove any last vestige of Christ from our culture? Could it be that he hates the message of the good news so much that he wants to squelch it? Or could it be people claiming to love Christmas and all that it represents, the good Christians of Whoville, reading from the Book of Who, hurt him so much, down to the core of his being, that he forever associates Christmas and Christians and all that they represent with ridicule, hurt, and pain? Well, let's find out.
For some reason, when he came home that day, he really got into the Christmas spirit for the first time.
Baby, picture you
perfect.
And me hanging around a Christmas tree. Christmas of love.
What a lovely family heirloom.
Oh, have a lot of fun at Christmas time. Now is a day. Everybody say, Merry Christmas of love.
The fires of love.
Baby, make a little wish.
This will be perfect on the top of a tree. Oh, Martha. Oh, Christmas.
Everything you've been dreaming of. Christmas of love.
I want you all to look your best tomorrow.
You don't have a chance with her. You're 8 years old and you have a beard.
Has everyone given their gift?
I haven't. Merry Christmas, Martha May.
Why do you have a bag on your head?
Probably because he's embarrassed by that idiot or his gift.
Mr. Grinch, please take the bag off. Yes, you take it off. Put the book down and your foot.
Look at that hack job.
Anger, the fury,
the muscles.
It was a horrible day when they were so cruel to him, and I could hardly bear it.
Story of the Grinch in school is told to little Cindy Lou Who as she's seeking her own answers about Christmas. She sees the world around her, Whoville, engrossed in all that is Christmas, the packages, the shopping, the shipping, the competitiveness, and the leaving out of anyone who is different. When she's told not to reach out to the Grinch, she's asked, Where are you, Christmas? She asks, where are you, Christmas? To admit, I'm a big fan of The Grinch and Ebenezer Scrooge, my two favorite characters from the secular Christmas stories. Back in high school, I had a custom shirt made. It was one of those 80s baseball shirts with the three-quarter sleeves, green sleeves, and it read across the front, "Bah, humbug!" Don't get me wrong. I enjoyed Christmas. I enjoyed getting presents and giving presents. I enjoyed going out caroling in the hay rides and the Christmas parties. I enjoyed drinking hot Dr. Pepper at my youth leader's house. And I enjoyed the fellowship of Christmas. But even then, I didn't like the commercialism of it. The competitiveness of getting the best presents or having the best decorations. Not a lot of that was a whole bunch of humbug. And I knew why we celebrated Christmas. And I knew that most people didn't care why we celebrated Christmas. You know, there's those who say there's a war on Christmas. That the government or the politically correct or somebody somewhere who's making those decisions wants to take Christ out of Christmas. There's a whole movement of those who refuse to say Happy Holidays because they think that's a perceived threat on Christ and Christmas. Well, I think it's a whole lot of humbug. People have been saying Happy Holidays for decades. It's because it's the holiday season. You've heard of them, I'm sure. Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's. The holidays and happy holidays. It's not to discriminate against Christmas, it's so that the card makers and the decorating companies can squeeze Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's into one phrase. And as America started to grow up in the 60s and the 70s and the 80s into the current era, and realized that not everybody in this country is a WASP, holidays began to include Hanukkah. And even later, Kwanzaa, and in some years, even Ramadan. And by the way, acknowledging that different people celebrate different holidays in wintertime doesn't diminish Christ, the Christ Mass, or Christmas. It just shows that we live in a country where people are free to believe, just as we are free to believe. You know, pagans celebrate trees in winter solstice. And a very long time ago, some wise priest decided that he would adopt that celebration and that he would celebrate the Christ Mass, Christmas, at the same time. And you can find it in the Bible. Jesus wasn't born on December 25th. The month of Jesus' birth can be calculated with reference to the conception of John the Baptist. Luke 1:5 says that John's father Zacharias was a member of the Abijah division of the temple service corps. And if you look back in the Old Testament, 1 Chronicles, you'll see that the priests of Abijah were assigned to begin their temple service at the start of the ninth week of the year. But at the end of the week, Pentecost began, so he would remain on duty through the end of the 10th week. So we're in the 10th week of the year, and Zacharias returns immediately to his home. We see this in Luke. And John was conceived shortly thereafter. Got home, was happy to see his wife. Probably during the last half of Sivan, which is the third month in the Jewish calendar. So if you give a 9-month normal pregnancy, John would have been born sometime in the springtime. Well, in Luke 1:36, it records that the angel came to Mary when John's mother Elizabeth was about 6 months pregnant. And Luke 1:31 reports that Mary conceived very shortly after the angel's visit. So assuming a normal 9-month pregnancy once again, Jesus would have been born about 6 months after John had been born, which was in the fall. So around Halloween, September, October, November, sometime in there, maybe Thanksgiving. So we have even more to give thanks for. Yet this is the time we celebrate the Advent. And you know, it doesn't matter that Jesus wasn't born on December 25th. Because Jesus coming into the world is a spectacular event. This is the time of the year that we sing Christmas carols. Christ the King of angels, God and sinners reconciled. The Jesus receiving the praise of both men and angels. Christmas carols declare the divinity of Christ. They literally shout out that Jesus is the Son of God, born to be the King of our lives. Yet instead, Christmas, the celebration of the King, has become the celebration of mass consumerism. The Grinch experienced those Whovillians and their consumerism and wanted nothing to do with it. That's a simple story. The more complicated one is that the Grinch tried to fit in, and he wasn't welcome. The Whovillian showed the Grinch unequivocally that he was not welcome among them, and that no matter what he did, no matter how hard he tried to fit in, how he tried to change, how much who pudding and how much who fudge he ate, that he was not welcome. People today see Christians much the same way that the Grinch saw the Whovillians: self-centered, judgmental, and uncaring. Look at the history of what has been done in the name of Christ. Over the last 2,000 years, we've seen the Crusades, millions killed. We've seen the Inquisition, where the message was convert, show that you love Jesus, or we'll kill you. And then our own history, manifest destiny. God told us to take this land from you, and we're going to kill you to get it. The world sees the church barricaded up within its walls, unwilling to come out, lest they be dirtied by the world. The world sees a church supposedly dedicated to Christ, but ignoring his teaching on loving your neighbor and serving the least of these. Instead, the world sees them as declaring war on whomever doesn't fit their, and not necessarily the Bible's, but their definition of what is holy. What melted in the Grinch's heart that day is what can melt anybody's heart. It's the core of what Jesus taught. If you'd like to turn with me, turn to Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 to 46. It's also up on the screen there. This is probably my favorite section of Scripture. When he finally arrives, blazing in beauty and all of his angels with him, the Son of Man will take his place on his glorious throne. Then all the nations will be arranged before him, and he'll sort the people out, much as a shepherd sorts sheep and goats, putting the sheep to his right and the goats to his left. And then the king will say to those on his right, enter, you are blessed by my Father. Take what's coming to you and in this kingdom. It's been ready for you since the world's foundation, and here's why. I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was homeless and you gave me a room. I was shivering and you gave me clothes. I was sick and you stopped the visit, and I was in prison and you came to visit me. And for today only, I was standing, shivering, lonely and depressed on top of Mount Crumpet, and you came to visit me. Then those sheep are going to say, Master, what are you talking about? When did we ever see you hungry and feed you, thirsty and give you a drink? And when did we ever see you sick or in prison or come to you? And the king will say, I'm telling you the solemn truth. Whenever you did one of these things to someone overlooked or ignored, that was me. You did it to me. And then he'll turn to the goats, the ones on his left, and he'll say, get out, worthless goats. You're good for nothing but the fires of hell. And why? Because I was hungry and you gave me no meal. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was homeless and you gave me no bed. I was shivering, you gave me no clothes, sick and in prison, and you never visited. And for today, I was standing, shivering, lonely and depressed on top of Mount Crumpet. And you ridiculed me. And you ostracized me. And then these girls are going to say, Master, what are you talking about? When did we ever see you hungry or thirsty or homeless or shivering or sick or in prison and didn't help? And for today, that wasn't you. That was that old Grinch. And he's going to answer them. And I tell you the solemn truth. Whenever you failed to do one of these things to someone who is being overlooked or ignored, especially to those that you think are a Grinch, that was me. You failed to do it to me. Then those goats will be herded to their eternal doom, but the sheep to their eternal reward. 3,000 feet up, the side of Mount Crumpet, he rode with his load to the tip-top to dump it. Poo-poo to the who's, he was grinchishly humming. They're finding out now that no Christmas is coming. They're just waking up. I know just what they'll do. Their mouths will hang open a minute or two. Then the who's down in Whoville will all cry boo-hoo. And that's a noise, grinned the Grinch, that I simply must hear. So he paused and the Grinch put his hand to his ear. And he did hear a sound rising over the snow. It started in low, and then it started to grow. But this sound wasn't sad. Why, this sound sounded merry. It couldn't be so, but it was merry, very. He stared down at Whoville. The Grinch popped his eyes. Then he shook. What he saw was a shocking surprise. Every who down in Whoville, the tall and the small, was singing without any presents at all. He hadn't stopped Christmas from coming. It came. Somehow or other, it came just the same. And the Grinch, with his Grinch feet ice cold in the snow, stood puzzling and puzzling. How could it be so? It came without ribbons. It came without tags. It came without packages, boxes, or bags. And he puzzled 3 hours till his puzzler was sore. Then the Grinch thought of something he hadn't before. Maybe Christmas, he thought, doesn't come from a store. Maybe Christmas, perhaps, means a little more. And what happened then? Well, in Whoville, they say that the Grinch's small heart grew 3 sizes that day. And the minute his heart didn't feel quite so tight, he whizzed with his load through the bright morning light, and he brought back the toys and the food for the feast, and he himself, the Grinch, carved the roast beef. The Grinch saw the Whovillians' celebration of the true Christ Mass, and he saw them celebrate their Savior even without the trappings of the season. When people see Christians actually acting like Christ instead of those who crucified him, their hearts are softened as well. and they too become willing to accept the gospel message. Way back on Palm Sunday, I stood up here and said that there are many so-called Christians who want Jesus in only two places, the manger and the cross, with nothing in between. But it's those Christians who are like Christ between those two events that will change the lives of all of the Grinches around us. Do you realize what a beautiful, beautifully theological story how the Grinch stole Christmas is? What changed the heart of the Grinch? It wasn't ribbons, it wasn't tags or packages, boxes or bags. It was the witness of the people down in Whoville. Specifically, one Cindy Lou Who. The witness of people that the Grinch had always hated. She comes to his door. On that Christmas morning when he's standing there with his feet freezing, she says, "No one should be alone on Christmas." It was their singing and their joy that changed the Grinch. So which who are you? Are you little Cindy Lou Who looking for the meaning of Christmas? Are you Lou Who, Cindy's father, who finally her daughter and stands up to the noise machine and declares that all I need is my family? Perhaps saying, "As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord." Or are you Mayor Augustus Mayhew, who's more concerned with appearances and what he can get from the celebration of Christmas? Or are you the Grinch, who can't see the truth of Christmas because of the people who celebrate Christmas? Or you may be like Martha May Hoovier, the one who was in love with the Grinch, who sees past the world and sees instead somebody who needs love and also really knows how to celebrate Christmas. The advent of Jesus into the world has the ability to change hearts. But in order for the Grinches to see Jesus, they need to see Jesus reflected in us. You have the ability, through the power of Jesus and the Holy Spirit working in your life, to help all of the Grinches find room in their hearts for Jesus. Fahu fore, dahu dore, welcome Christmas, come this way. Fahu fore, dahu dore, welcome. Welcome Christmas Day.